Well, y'all ready for this month, February? We're going to jump in, and let's see. I'm really going to probably maybe have just two messages. I didn't put in the bulletin, but not next Sunday, but the next, the third Sunday. Jim Howard, I gave him an invitation if he wanted to come in and share what's on his heart. But he got back with me. We're going to have a short ordination service. Spirit of Faith Ministries, Leslie, Jim's daughter, has been beside her dad for many years in the ministry. And he asked her just here recently if she'd like to be ordained. And she said, yes, I would. I've been thinking about that. So I told Jim, you need a church, you got a church. So he's going to bring, he's going to ordain her the third Sunday here. And then Leslie's going to bring us the word, his daughter. You're going to get to hear what God is doing in her life. So that just worked out good. I said, yeah. I said, let her know we're talking about relationships, but just tell her whatever the Lord puts on her heart, and I know it's going to be just what we need to hear. Amen. Hey, we'll pray that she'll sing whatever the Lord puts on her heart, because she's a singer. Yes. You like the country gospel, how you say that, the contemporary, she can sing. She can raise the roof. Her favorite song when Miss Margaret was alive and here was at her birthday, she would sing, ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Can't no grave gonna hold this body down. And her mom, grandmother, lived to be right at 99 years old. And she sang that at her wake. And it was a blessing. Amen. February, our series, we're going to be talking about the love path. Say the love, remember the love boat? Well, this is the love path. The title today, we're going to be talking about, Reed shared it, perfecting the love walk. So you tell me there's always going to be some areas where I can do better? Oh, yeah. Amen. We're always going to do better. And we're going to be talking about relationships. Our main goal, and I got a goal here, is that we need to focus on perfecting our love walk with the Lord. I mean, He is love. God is love. That's the relationship we need to continually be perfecting. Perfection just means mature, to be mature. To be mature, you throw away your childish things and you start doing what you know to be right. You're growing up. Nothing wrong with being a child. You just did things different. You just wasn't thinking about things that when you grow old now. You know what? You're thinking about others. As a child, see, we think about what I want, what I want to do. As we grow older, and this is when you get that age of accountability, everything you've been seeing, see, you're coming of age. You're going to be a dad one day, or maybe a grandpa one day. And your perspective on life starts to change. You know, when you're young, man, you're like, I'm never getting, you know, it's just like you're living for the day. What's old age, man? My dad, my grandpa, that's old. But, you know, next thing you know, you wake up and what used to be flowing up here is, where did it go? You know, it's kind of like, wow, the year is just, boom, it's gone. But don't look at past regrets, things you didn't do. No, look at today. Faith is now. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, what is my purpose? What is our purpose in this love path, this series? Is to walk in this love, God's love, and stay on that path. It's a whole lot. Remember, guys, when you used to ride bicycles in your younger days, you had paths, or you might just went and walk on a path. As long as you stayed on the path, you were pretty good because, you know, there's all kind of little bumps out there in the fields. You're riding your bike on that path. But you get off the path, it starts to get a little bumpy. Because, see, a path, somebody's been there. They've walked on it. They've taken out all, they filled in the potholes. All these things. And it's made things better. As long as you stay on the path, think about snow sledding, you know. First thing after the snow, you've got to make the path. And you keep going down and it gets faster as it gets colder. But get somebody on there that kind of gets a little crazy and gets off the path. There's trees out there. They don't have feelings like you do. You hit one of them old trees, I've hit a couple of them, they hurt. Man, you don't want that tree on your path. you want a path to the end, and then you gotta make a path to walk back up the hill, unless you got a four-wheeler. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 20. I want to read this, and then this will prepare our heart here. This is in red. Is it in red in your Bible? Jesus speaking here. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it's going to be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the 2x4 or the plank that's in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that speck from your eye,' and look, that 2x4 is still in your eye? Jesus said, 'Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will be clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces.'" Verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, gives him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he gives him a snake or a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, say, how much more?" Come on. "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to him who asks?" And there's no evil in him. They were contrasting. If you're evil, you're doing all these things, but you're evil. And God, who is no evil, and you ask him, how much more? He ain't going to give you no stone. Man, he might give you a diamond, some precious stone. I mean, that's the kind of stone he would have to give you. Something that's going to benefit you more. 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." Who created mankind? God. So treat them, because the way you treat them, that is a creating, that was created by Daddy. In other words, even somebody that's not out here serving God, God still created that person, and they still have the same opportunity. God, Jesus shed his blood for him just as much as he shed it for me before I was saved. So see, what we have to do, we have to see through the eyes of Christ. We have to see them the way Jesus sees them, forgiven, before they're forgiven. That's called faith. Give them the opportunity to know this Jesus that you know. This is called about building relationships. It's easy to build a relationship. I can come here and talk with you guys because I've built relationships. We're continually building our relationship and getting stronger. But when a stranger comes in, we've got to watch. We're talking about the love path. We've got to see, this is the love church. This is the church of Jesus Christ, Messiah. God is love. When people come in, they're going to have to experience love here. Now, we can still be in different areas in our life. We could be going through something that day, but you got to forget what's going on in your life, especially when you come to church, but that includes when we walk out of this house. Jesus, we are his temple. That's how he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." This is a place, this is a general assembly. We just come together, believers, really wanting to hear specifically what we need to hear today through the week. Amen? And we got to go out here and be ready to give what God has given us freely. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets, that Old Testament. Verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate." We could say, enter by the love path. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." That's not the love path. That's off the beaten road. Why is it called off the beaten road? Because people are getting beat up out there. That's not the love path. There's a lot of Christians out there that's on the beaten road, even coming to church. They're getting beat by religion, condemnation, and the law. That's what the law does. It requires you to be groomed before you come into God's house. It requires you to make sure you've said your 10 read your 10 chapters this week. 10 chapters. See, this is what the law requires. Grace says, come as you are. Come freely into here to worship God. That's grace. See, law is always going to be looking for what you can do. Grace is looking, this is what's been done for you. Amen? And that's why we've got to treat people, what has grace done? Grace has provided forgiveness, healing, deliverance. That's the gate. That's the path we want to be on. Because narrow is the gate, verse 14, and difficult, say difficult. Go back to your sin in life. That life was difficult. Don't go way back here. I don't want to put, don't go too far. You ain't got to go too far in that life. No, it was hard. It was difficult. Now, the life that we have as a Christian, it's not easy. It's called persecution. Because people don't want, they want you to get back on the beaten road. Misery loves company, right? I like this company, God's company. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Now, that life, this love path, it is going to be hard because you're going to want the devil. He's going to have to try to pull you every which way but loose. But Jesus has set you free. He's cut the cords of bondage of religion. He fulfilled the law. That's a place to shout right there. He fulfilled the law. He did what we couldn't do. He did what we couldn't do. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. If you go to the grocery store and you're going to make some apple pies, what are you looking for? You're looking for apples. Are you going to find it meat section? You're not going to find it in the meat section. You've got to go to the produce department. That's where they come off of apple trees. You're not going to find love at a bar called Wickedness. I'm just throwing a name out there. There's all kinds of names for these bars. I used to go in some of them. Pubs. We could name all kinds of names. That's not the path. You're going to find darkness in there. Amen? Usually they don't open up till dark. Right? That's a sign right there. They got signs out back. They'll let you know what's there. But if you're in darkness, you love darkness. How bad is that darkness? There's another path here. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. When that rich ruler came begging and throwing himself at the feet of Jesus, he said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved and inherit the kingdom of God?" Jesus immediately said, "There's none good but one, and that's God." So he made sure that he knew, good master, all these things that he was looking at, all these things that Jesus was doing, but Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. He's the only one that's good. He is God. That's your foundation right there. A good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. We need to teach this in our school system. This is how simple education needs to be, right? Can't get bad fruit off a good tree. Vice versa. And here's the solution. 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit needs to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Baptism will be a good analogy to this. When I got baptized, now the water didn't cleanse me. Jesus cleansed me, but the water represented the bad. I mean, when I went in the water, I'm saying the bad's going under, and when I come up, I'm different. I'm new. Newness of life. Washing away, cleansing of all the old man. Old man down, new man rising. That's what baptism represents. But it's not the water, it's the Word. It made me clean. Jesus made me free. But he looked at his cousin John and said, "But do everything according to righteousness, John." Because John said, "Lord, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me." And he did. Well, I'm sorry, John didn't get the opportunity because he got martyred. He got beheaded. But he would have been baptized by Jesus had that been God's perfect will. But he received just as great a reward as we will. because he believed in Jesus. It cost him his head, but he is living together forever in glory because of his testimony. Amen? Amen. He prepared the love path. John did. He prepared that love path for the Lord with all his heart. He didn't look good. He didn't smell good. People wasn't receiving him with, "John's coming." No. They come out, the religious people came out. Jesus called them like vipers. John said, "You vipers, why you come out here?" Because John knew their hearts. They didn't have a heart of repentance. He's pretty much saying, "Hey, this water's not going to help you. You need a heart transplant. You need to come on down to the water, but you need to have the right attitude coming down." That's what we need to do. Anything we do for the Lord. Baptism, we just don't want to come here and put the water. We want you to know the attitude. Have the right attitude. What is this representing? What is it doing? Amen? And it's a good thing. We got some baptisms coming up. Because Frankie and Larry, they got this heater going and pump going. And we're going to put some under for long. Frankie, we're going to put them under, Larry. I might get Frankie down there in the water with me. I might need some help. I might get Frankie wet. Thank you, Jesus. Where did I get to? Did I get to 19? And 20 is going to be the last one. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The love path. What's going to be on the love path? Love. Fruit. This is how we're going to know if you're a Christian. It ain't going to be by what you say. It's going to be by what I see you doing. Amen? After church. Before church. Now, I ain't saying you're going to have arguments and different things, but the core is going to be love. Fruit's going to be love. At the end of the day, love's going to be coming out of your tree. Amen. Fruit's going to be coming up. Our goal is to stay on this love path. Our goal has got to be to not let the devil draw me off of the path of life, the love path. 1 John 5:18. Because that's what the devil's trying to do. He is relentless in trying to get the church, trying to get righteousness out of this earth, and his wickedness prevail. But guess what? We're going to stand up against him in the power of the Lord. Amen? Stand strong. 1 John chapter 5. Can't let the devil get us off this path. 18 through 21. 1 John 5:18 through 21. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Now, spirit, soul, and body will help you there when we know that everyone who is born of God does not sin. In other words, you have been, the sin nature has been taken out of you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You don't have that sin nature anymore if you truly have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, you might not know that. That's why you get in the Word and you find yourself like Jesus found himself in the Scriptures, and you have to renew your mind to, I am not that old man anymore. Because if you always see yourself as that old sinner saved by grace, you'll never go do the work. You'll never be empowered with the Holy Ghost because you think you're not worthy. It's not me, what I'm doing that makes me worthy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes me worthy to do, to have the power to do the work, to lay hands on the sick, to preach the gospel. Amen. That's the power. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the way of the wicked one. Under the sway, I'm sorry, of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. This is the love path. This is where I live. This is where I walk. This is where I ride. I go home. I go to work this way. I come home this way on the love path. And there's going to be many opportunities out there that the wicked one's going to try to get you off that path and call, say, you're not that all, you're not all that great. You're not all that lovely. He's going to have people across your path and try to get you to come in to the, you're going to try to pull over to the rest area, but there's going to be somebody there, you're not going to give you much rest. It's the wicked one going to try to tell you all these things that you're doing wrong. You're going to run into some people that ain't too lovely. Here are just a few tactics that I wanted to share with you that the devil is going to try and get us to yield to. One, he's going to try to get us to hate each other. Turn on the news. Hate is a word that is amplified today. If you don't do exactly, if you don't have the same opinion I do, Terry, you're hating me. That's just, it's amplified. No, God, we have a choice. There's good and there's evil. In between, in other words, I either hate my brother or I love my brother. If I tell my brother the truth, I love him. Some people think that's hate. My truth is based on Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'll tell them that first. And I'll tell them I love you, but if I don't tell them what they're doing is wrong, I don't love them. The Bible tells me if I see my brother sin and I don't go to my brother and try to say, hey, this is sin, I love you, don't do this, then I don't love my brother. But a lot of people, if you go do that, you hate me. You're a hate monger. That's the devil. That's the wicked one. They're not on the love path. Amen. All we got to do is we got to try it. We got to listen to the Holy Ghost and do what God tells us to do. We got to show them the love path. That doesn't mean if they don't want to come down my path, I don't try to make them come down that path. Because they're going to mess your stuff up. That's trying to put your pearls before the swine. No, you got to get them born again. The only way you can get them born again is you got to preach the word, the gospel to them. And then they've got to receive that. They've got to want to change. Amen. So the devil's going to try his tactics. He's going to try to get us to hate each other. He's going to try to get us to hate each other in church. That's his goal. Offenses. He wants us to get offended. We all, and I'm going to discuss this next week at our vision meeting, but I want to know, this is your house. I want to know what you want to do in God's house. See, I'm the pastor. I'm here to lead you. It's not my calling to point you what you need to do. It's my calling to lead you to what God's called you to do. And that's hard sometimes. That's a hard path sometimes, because to know that, you've got to be following God. It's easy for somebody to come to me and say, hey, tell me something that you want to know. You can tell them all kinds of things. I can't tell you what's in your heart. Only God can. But now God will reveal things to me if you are wanting to pull that from God, but it's going to be through somebody you can trust. You know, I'm not saying you can't ask the pastor for this or that, but what God has put on the inside of you, he will reveal to you. Amen? That hate can come in as examples. He wants to get us to hate each other because of the colors that we are. He wants us to look at that. And the past, and what's happened to this race, and what's happened to that race. But see, we've got to put our colored glasses on, rose-colored glasses on. All we see is the blood of Jesus. We don't look at color. We look at God created mankind. I try to put it this way. We're just all different colors of dirt. See, because you're looking at the outside. Indian, that's red dirt. Black dirt, white dirt. Kind of like the beach, you know, white, sandy beach. We're different shades of dirt. Does that make sense, Ruth? If Ruthie's looking like, Dad, you are really lost it here. You're calling the people dirt. Get your Crayola out. But see, it's what's on the inside. God breathed into that dirt. It came from God. That's where the life was. What color's Adam? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm not going to look at Adam when I get to heaven. I'm going to know him by the Spirit. Flesh, it profits nothing. What's in the heart of man? I can see evil or I can see good as a Christian. But a lost person, they can't see either one. They don't know because they're blinded from God, from the truth. Who has blinded them? The wicked one, the devil. From birth, he is there to try to, mama says, do this. No. The wicked, selfish pride. It's our nature. Don't feel bad. It's your nature to don't want sweet peas and green beans and all that gerber. I want mashed potatoes. I want steak. You learn that as you get a little bit older. What was in it? You can't go back and eat that gerber food, can you? It just don't taste the same. Can't go back to the gerber. As Christians, we receive the pure milk of the Word. Thereby with we grow. As we mature, we start eating. Lord will show us some harder things that people are dealing with. But then we don't never go back to that milk. We got to get stronger in the Lord. As you start to operate in the ministry, you'll be able to hear, and you'll minister to people that tears are flowing down their body. And don't never look at the pastors as not being emotional. The Spirit of the God, Spirit of the Lord gives us power to not be emotional, but sit there and minister life to that person. The emotions come later when you're having dinner with your family and you just start weeping. Or when I'm at home laying in my bed weeping. See, I gotta deliver to you what God wants to say. Now I can't do it if I get emotional. And don't get me wrong if you're emotional, spiritual, because you're dealing with the spirit and natural things. I'm just saying, as you get stronger, you'll be able to, if somebody is laying out their life before you, God will reveal something that can totally get them on the love path. Get them totally going in a different direction. And it'll be a miracle. And you've played a part because you did what? You were on the love path. You were giving them hope, giving them life. Don't give them religion. Tell them about the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. Religion wants to say what all I've done for Jesus. A relationship says, come, see a man. See a man, that woman at the well said, come, see a man that told me all that I was and I knew. But then, that's the well of water, living water. She got refreshed. We were singing about being refreshed. Amen? Good Lord. Time is a flying. But this is really a short message today, and I think Lord knew everything's going to be going on. Areas the devil wants to get you. He wants to get us into hate. He wants us to look at color, religion. He wants my family to be against one another. He wants us to look at who got the red car and who got this car. Who went to this college? See, this is what the devil wants. He wants you to compare your children. And I'm going to tell you this. I love God more than I love my wife. I'm kind of getting to the message here. You've got to have God first. I love my wife, but I don't love her much as I love God. Because if I love her more than God, she becomes an idol to me. And God says, I'll have no idols before me. See, God's a jealous God. But he knows if I keep him first, that'll flow right down to my relationship with my wife. Because, see, I can't give my wife what I don't have. But if I stay hooked up with God, he's going to continually. That woman, in the old days was just you were giving respect. I will say wife. I better say wife. Somebody say, that woman, that wife God gave me, she's going to need things. She's going to be changing. Chemicals in her body changes at different ages. Men, we probably do too, but women notice it more than men, I think. So we got to be hearing from God. We got to know, okay, don't, Holy Spirit, what do I need to say? What do I not need to say? What do I need to do? He knows exactly what that woman needs. She needs to be lifted up. She needs to be appreciated is a word right there. You know, when you take a car and pull it off the lot, they say it depreciates value as soon as you drive it off the lot. Well, as soon as you get married and life continues on, that woman's got to be appreciated, not depreciated. Amen. She's got to grow in value to you. The only way that's going to happen is you keep your relationship with God because you know what she needs. Vice versa. Women, I talk to the men. Now, women, I'm just going to leave it right there. Time permitting, I would speak more to the women, guys, but we got to go on. The devil wants us to get bitter in our relationships instead of better. And I'm just going to give you Hebrews 12. We'll look at this, Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. And Patsy's fine. Lewis, she wasn't feeling good in her stomach, so we, with haste, she's getting better quickly. Lewis said he needed to go. We're believing for her speedily. Lord's moving in her body. That message was for all the body. Hebrews 12, 9 through 16. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? In other words, right there, if I gave respect to my earthly father, yes, sir, and my mother, yes, ma'am, how much more should I respect what God says to do? More than my natural father. More. For they indeed, for a few days, corrected us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Be holy as I am holy. That's what he's saying. Correction. Now, no chastening or correction seems to be joyful for the present. Don't feel good when you're getting that whooping. But when it sinks in, when it sinks into you why you got whooped, and it saves you home down the road from going to jail, you can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. But don't forget to say, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. Right? Because they were just listening from God. They were telling you the truth in love, and it don't feel good sometimes when they're telling it. But your benefit is the blessing of the Lord, where there's no sorrow. So if you got sorrow in your life, you can't blame it on God. It means you just got out of his blessing. You got off the love path. Get back on. Get out of the woods. Get off that beaten path and get back on the love path. I'm going to quickly here. Therefore, verse 12, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Be healed. Relationships can affect your healing, but not with God. Come on now. Keep your relationship. That's the number one relationship, is with God. Do that. And if there's any that you need to forgive, forgive. But you keep your relationship with God right. Don't let people get you off that path. Next thing you know, I'm not suffering from that anymore. Because unforgiveness is a root of bitterness. Unforgiveness is a key to sickness, disease, poverty in your body. It's one of the keys. But remember, Jesus is the master key. He unlocked you from that. He set you free from that. Pursue, 14, pursue peace with all people. Doesn't mean you're going to have peace, but pursue it first. And holiness, with which out, without, no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root, there's that root of bitterness, springing up, trying to mess your life up. But what else happens? Springing up cause trouble, and by this many, many become defiled. If God can mess you up, sorry, God fixes you up. If the devil can mess you up, he wants to destroy you, but he also wants to destroy your kids and your family, those generations. See, he looks past what he's doing to you to what he can do to your kids. Because, see, you're the authority in the home. Even after they leave the home, you still have some jurisdiction. Because of the relationship you have with God. There's still angels out there. Amen. Even though they're doing bad stuff, it's called mercy. God's mercy. The sure mercies of David. Amen. They're there. And we're going to stop the enemy. As parents, we must know that love not only protects, but it corrects. So don't look back and you see something going wrong in your child, and you think, I know I should have done that. No. If you corrected that child, you did your part, did God's part. They might not have loved you for it right then, They gave you the old, I'll go to daddy. If you did what was right, with what you know, you got to stand strong. That's a mother's love, father's love. Nope, you're not going over there tonight. Why, daddy? Why, daddy? Why, daddy? Why? Why, daddy? Why, daddy? Why? Somebody write a song about that. Why, daddy? Why, daddy? You make me cry, daddy. Oh, daddy. Oh, daddy. Then you give them the money. Then you give them the money. Happy day, daddy. Happy day. Happy day. Remember that one that came to the guy? Came to him and just begged. Just begged. You know, do this. Do this. Lord, just for the persistence. It said that the guy finally gave in because of the persistence. Nag, 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 nag. We got to watch that. We got to watch that and not override our heart. Amen. We got to keep them on the love path. We got to keep them protected from the evil one. The evil one. Never put your spouse, your children, or anybody or anything before God. God first. If we do that, we make them vulnerable to the enemy's attack. That's our connection to that love path, God. Remember this, I'm closing here. First things first. Think about some signposts on a path. You know, you're going down the road, you need to know where to go. You got a goal, you're trying to get somewhere, and there's two ways, there's a crossroads. You got a sign. Well, if you don't have a signpost, Reed, you got to put on the brakes and make a decision. But if you know where you're going and you see a sign that tells you turn left, then you know you're not turning right. Here's some signposts. This is the direction to the promised land. God first. Your next turn will be your spouse. Next turn would be your kids, if you got kids, if you're not taking them out of there. The next turn would be your church family. These are priorities. And then the next turn will be your work. That's kind of like last. God first, then your spouse, then your children, then your church family, and then what you do, your work. See, God has nothing to do with your work, how you serve Him. But He will bless you at your work if you keep all that in line. That's on the love path. Conclusion. Proverbs tells us the path, 4:18 tells us the path of the just is as a shining light, love path. It shines more and more unto that perfect day. What is that perfect day? Jesus Christ. He is the perfection of holiness is Jesus. That is our goal. That is our promised land, is to be just like Jesus. You can do that. Jesus said you can. He said, be holy as I'm holy. Stand on the love path. Because the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Notes on both of those verses. The righteous grow in their relationship with the Lord, just as the rising sun gets brighter and brighter as the day progresses. This is our relationship with God, how it gets brighter and brighter. Our vision of the future gets clearer and clearer as we walk with the Lord. You're not going to know everything, but He'll show you day by day, step by step, the way will get clearer. Do what He told you to do last week before you're looking for Him. Give me another word, Lord. Have you finished what I told you to do last week? The wicked. In contrast to the righteous, the wicked are like people who walk in the dark. They can't see the pitfalls in front of them and so stumble and fall over things that those who have light would never stumble over. Relationships. Watch and learn from those that are doing it right. Amen? Amen? This is how I try to... This is how I watch and pastor, as I glean back on what my pastor did. I draw upon that wisdom of how he led and the wisdom that he gave to me and then to others that I would know of. I can remember one example just quickly that, you know, he was preaching and I was an usher. I was the head usher, moved up from a maintenance man cleaning the toilets and got into the usher. That's called the ministry of helps. Whatever your pastor asks you to do, you do it. And moved up. I was over the ushers, head usher, so I'm back here at the back, and pastor's preaching, and somebody comes in, he's not smelling too good, not looking too good. And I pretty much, you know, he took a seat at the back, And but he had actually asked if there's anything we could do financially. He's out of gas down the road, broke down. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. Hang out here about 35 minutes, 45 minutes. Our pastor gets done preaching. We'll have a talk, see what we can do there. He needs to hear the Word of God. So I learned that from my pastor. He gave me some books to read, a lot of books. Readers are leaders. Okay? And then you keep reading. After the service, I went to my pastor, and he said, okay, I'll be out there in a minute. So I rode with him. I'm learning. I didn't go home with my family now, time to eat. No, I'm in training. You're in training right now. I'm keeping you a little bit over, but we're going to finish. So pastor, we got him in the car and talked to him a little bit, and I don't remember the conversation, but it had to do with, you know, what'd you hear, you know, what you're doing, just kind of quickly, where are you from? And so he said, I tell you what, because he was wanting just some monetary money to put gas in his car. Well, you got to listen to God sometime, but you don't know what that person's going to use that money for, because I don't know you. Now, if I know you, I can trust you. I can give you money. I'll give you everything in my wallet. If I trust you, and I know you got a need. But that ain't what he needed. He needed love. He needed to know the love path. So my pastor said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. About 3 miles down the road here, you follow me, and we'll take you down to the Shell, and we'll fill this puppy up. And that's what we did. And then after that, during the time we're pumping, my pastor's pumping the word, encouragement, love to this person, you know, what you go, but you know what? We never seen that person come back. But we did what God told us to do. We planted a seed, showed them love, showed them Jesus. We met a need that needed to be met, but we did it the right way. What would have been if we just gave the person the gas money? They went in there and got them a good old fifth of Jim Beam and said, yeah, go on down to the next church. Get my next fix. That ain't going to fix it. The love of God, the love of Christ, that's what's going to change somebody's heart. Amen? And that's what they got to have. That's called the love path. And we've got at least one more week on this love path. And it might go into March, I'm not sure, but it's going to be a blessing. Amen? Let's pray. I believe the Lord's ministered what he gave us today, and get ready. Because we know the thief, we know the wicked one. He's out there, he's going to try to come against what you heard today. But you have another helper called the Holy Ghost. And he's going to bring back to remembrance everything Pastor said and what he said, what Jesus said. And it's going to help you build a relationship, a stronger relationship with the Lord, with your spouse, with your mom, with your dad, with your friends. But always remember, God is for you. And he wants you to have loving relationships. He wants you to have good things, earrings, pretty things, but he never wants you to have that before him. The Bible says riches and honor. God wants you to have both. Riches in one hand and honor in the other hand. If you go for the honor, you go for the gold. The going for the gold is going for God. Amen. You get him, he'll fill your hands with the riches. Just look at Solomon. Solomon didn't ask for the riches. He asked for wisdom, Lord, to be able to minister. Let your people hear what they need to hear today. That's what I'm asking for. And next thing you know, I got free sound bars being dumped off at my house. And I'm like, but I knew whose blessing that was. I didn't have to ask too long. I'm like, all right, Larry's got him a boom box. Because he serves El Shaddai. This is a giver. I don't have to tell you what he does. I know what he does. And God knows what he does. And he just likes to show off a little bit. he works at Amazon. God works at Amazon. I know we got the right account. We're at the right place. Name was Indy. Amen. Father, I thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for moving and working in relationships in our lives. Not just today, Lord. You've been helping us out through the years. And we thank you, Lord. Our love path is going to get brighter and brighter as the day gets brighter. As our walk with you gets closer, Lord, we stand with you and walk with you and talk with you. Lord, you're going to reveal things to us by your Spirit that no man can reveal. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.